Welcome to Purpose Lived, conversations on living with purpose between Ziba chairperson Gia Whitehead and remarkable humans in the world.
Hello and welcome to Ziba's Purpose Lived podcast series. This is a theme that has always underpinned our work and our approach to education. And these podcast series have been beautiful conversations with people who we believe are really living their purpose. Today, I'm fortunate to welcome our very own Ziba Dean, Dr. Peter Ayok. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Gia. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Ayok, the subject on purpose lived is really something that we're passionate about and that you're living and part of too. Would you, just to get started, tell us a little bit more about yourself in a few short minutes? What do you do? How have you got to Ziba? What have you done?
Thank you, Gia. So as I said in the introduction, I'm currently the Dean of Ziba Business School. But before that, I was head of department in different departments at Millbrook Business School, where I had spent 12 and a half years before joining Ziba. And at Millbrook, if I were to just look back, you know, some of the work that we did there, introducing new programs such as the Bachelor of Business Administration and the BBA. And then my final role in the last 2.5 years was to develop executive education within the business school. And prior to that, my first stint in higher education was with Damlin, also as a head of department, looking after the marketing and business management program. But that was just for a year and a half before I joined Millbrook. And again, prior to that, I taught in a number of high schools in Johannesburg, including Wendy Wood High School, a public school in a governing body position. And my last high school teaching role was with Radley College, a private high school in Randburg.
Fabulous. And obviously being in the education space for so long, how do you feel about the theme of purpose? Do you feel like it's something that you can teach, or is it something that you find within yourself? How would you guide or inspire others?
I actually think it's both. I think we should teach what we believe and what we are prepared to live as well. So I don't see any contradiction between the two. So I honestly believe that it can be taught, but I also believe that there are different ways of teaching. There's different ways of giving instruction. And perhaps the best way of teaching is by living what you truly believe in. Because when we interact with students, and of course, today we take advantage of technology. So whether it's in a face-to-face teaching environment or in an online environment, you know, students look beyond what you're actually saying to them. They look to the lecturers, the facilitators, the teachers, the educators, whatever we use to describe these knowledge workers. They look to them to be role models. And therefore, I believe that to be, you know, to teach authentically is to live what you believe in. And yes, this is very true of one's purpose in life. Because for me, it's a guiding philosophy. It's a mindset. And as I said, it also has to be a way of life. Thank you.
So you're saying that, you know, living on purpose means doing what really matters in alignment with your values and your beliefs. So where does your purpose journey start? Do you believe that being in education is your purpose, or where did it begin?
Well, I think circumstances led me to be in education. And after a few years, I found that this is actually a calling. It's more than just providence, you know, as one may call it. After high school, I went to university to study agricultural economics. And I saw a career in the World Bank, in the development sector, and so on and so forth. And then in 1997, I had the opportunity initially to do a postgraduate, an honors degree at the University of Pretoria in agricultural economics. And then life happened. I started teaching because I also started a family around that time. So I needed to earn an income. So it was more a question of circumstances. But as I grew into it, it became clear to me that sharing life experiences, sharing knowledge or building careers, working with young people and seeing them develop before one's own eyes and fulfilling their potential. I don't think, I look back and I think, this is really it. This is my calling. And it may not necessarily be always financially fulfilling, but I think the impact that one creates, just seeing people grow and become confident, young men and women, and having, being good citizens, I think it's a real purpose that must be acknowledged. So yes, for me, education in general, at all levels, I have come to believe is really my purpose, and it's one I'm prepared to live for the rest of my life.
Incredible. And I think you're doing that not just with the people you educate in your workplace, but also within your family and your other environment. So something that really, you know, has a ripple effect. Dr. Ike, you mentioned agriculture. And something that's really big at the moment is sustainability and the environment. And I believe that purpose is not just around, you know, around people, but it's also around how we care about our environment. And it's really hard, particularly for people, you know, coming from poverty and when your focus is really about your next meal compared to caring for the planet. How does that resonate with you?
So, Chair, I see two parts to your question. The first one is, can we as people or humans exist or thrive in isolation from the physical environment? The answer is no. I think that, you know, we live in an ecosystem. We need the physical environment, the bodies of water, the land, the air around us, the trees, the earthworms, even the snakes, livestock. We need each other, and perhaps I think we need the environment more than the environment needs us. So it's not a choice. I think it has to be our duty as humans to make sure that we take care of the environment, because if we don't, we put our own destiny at severe risk, as we are seeing, because nature has a way of warning us and self-correcting. So I think that is one part to it. And therefore, I believe rather intuitively that the only way that as humans we can look after our own future is to take care of the environment. And I think every bit really counts, whether it's how we manage the electricity or the water that's available to us, or how we think about how the water and electricity is generated, and how we look about after our own bodies in relation to the environment. I think all of this is actually very important. The second part to your question, as I understand it, is whether people who are living in deprived conditions, people living in poverty, can value sustainability, and especially in relation to the environment. I think the answer again is yes. Because I believe that the reason for so much poverty is not because the environment cannot feed us. The environment, the earth, living in the Western Cape, living in South Africa, living in Africa, there is so much abundance of food, of energy, of everything that we need, not just to live, but to live well. I think the problem has been poor distribution mechanisms, both in terms of the logistics, the infrastructure, but also in terms of leadership, to make sure that there is equitable distribution of resources. So I think we are poor. You know, people are poor. The vast majority of our people are poor, not because they are meant to be poor. I think it's they are poor because of failure in leadership, because of failure of you know, the privilege to make sure that there is equitable distribution of our endowments across society. Because I really believe that there is enough for everyone in this country.
Absolutely. Thank you for that. And I've seen, you know, through these conversations, like you said, like the word abundance and, you know, aligns with purpose in a sense. And and integrity, you know, and other values all kind of linked together in many ways. And often it's through understanding, like you said, something around us being interconnected. We are energy. And so we are continually evolving and flowing, and so is the environment, and so is the resources that we have available. And so this, you know, so I think we need to be innovative in this time, in these times of load shedding and other things, and think, how can we?
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Ayok, in terms of, you know, I think you really are embodying, and you speak beautifully around that purpose living. Is there someone else in your life that you believe has really lived a life of purpose that you look up to or inspires you?
Well, someone in my life, I guess you're referring to my family. And I think, yes, of course, my beautiful wife inspires me. But to your question, perhaps my son, Noel Ibot, who just finished his internship. He just completed his community service in physiotherapy at Ellis Ross Hospital yesterday, and he's back home in Johannesburg now.
Brilliant.
He inspires me. He's it's amazing that he comes to mind. But if I just look back at his life as a young man growing up in grade 8 at Four Ways High School, that was the first time he went to a school that actually offered rugby. So he came from Robin Hills Primary School, and he did soccer. They didn't do rugby, and he went there and he embraced rugby and took to the sport and did quite well. But then his academic performance took a dive. And in grade 9, I decided to withdraw him from the team. And his reaction was not so positive, in the sense that his marks even worsened off, which was a rebellion. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to lose this child just because, you know, I don't want him to follow his passion. In grade 10, I allowed him to play rugby. And since then, he just took full control of his life. I've never had to advise him to study or do anything. He took full control. And he just, I guess he wanted to prove a point. And he did that so well. You know, passed his matric brilliantly. He's now completed. He's a qualified and licensed physiotherapist. And I think he's in a very good space. So as a father, I'm very proud of him that he has done all of this. Not only has he been successful academically, last year he captained a Vets rugby team, and he also played Curry Cup for the Lions. So he's been able to achieve every single dream that he set for himself. And for me, that's a big inspiration, because I could have gone the traditional route of being overprotective and maybe stopping him from realizing his dreams. I'm just grateful that I allowed him to, you know, find his own path and just be his own person.
That's
so beautiful. For me, that's quite inspiring at this stage.
Mm-hmm. That's really such a beautiful story. And I think it is a testament to the values that you created and the environment that you allowed him to thrive in. And that's really, you know, having someone who's behind you and in your corner is huge to the success and to being allowed to find that purpose. Tell me, what are you passionate about other than education and your work and your family? What do you do for fun? What excites you?
Well, I'm passionate about nature. Nature doesn't stop to fascinate me. And especially now being in Cape Town for 2.5 years and having the opportunity to experience nature in very dramatic ways, you know, all the beautiful beaches, you know, the mountains, the beautiful gardens, everywhere. I mean, you just have to be outside your balcony to experience four seasons in a day. And so for me, that inspires me, just looking, you know, outside my office, looking at Table Mountain. It's great inspiration. But I would say people, you know, the things that happen in society fascinate me, sometimes in challenging ways, in negative ways, sometimes in ways that are depressing, you know, that cause one to question, why do we self-sabotage this way? You know, if I look at the criminality that is happening, if I look at the corruption around us, if I look at the lack of work ethic you know, around us, you know, the wastefulness. So sometimes that can be depressing. But again, there are many people, there are pockets of excellence that are inspiring. So I get fascinated. It doesn't take much for me to be fascinated or to be inspired. But I think it's the ordinary things, ordinary developments of life around us within the country that really fascinate me. So, you know, just watching the news, reading the papers, and seeing what is happening on social media, talking to people, you know, beautiful people like yourself, the work that you do, really fascinates me. So that's where I draw my inspiration from.
Thank you. And in those conversations, sometimes, you know, what makes us the most vulnerable, and when we go down to those roots, whether it's in nature or whether it's in having these conversations about what's really scary and the realities in the world, that's when we better understand ourselves. And when we actually, you know, often I've seen the people with the most adversity or the most struggles or vulnerability are the ones that are clearer about their purpose because they've gone deeper. What would you share or do to inspire others to help them find their purpose and to dig deeper or to show an interest in nature or to really just reflect and understand more about who they are and what they're passionate about?
I think it's just to be true to myself, to be genuine, to be authentic, to let people see me for who and what I am, even when I'm not saying anything. Because I think that sometimes when we actually use words, we take the risk of misrepresenting ourselves for different reasons. So I actually think that the best way of perhaps inspiring someone is just having a presence that is meaningful to that person. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Sometimes it's just letting someone know that your shoulder is there if he or she needs somebody to lean on, that you are prepared to listen. Because I find that people go through a lot, whether it's here at SIBA, you know, where I work with colleagues and with students. You know, sometimes we just walk past students, we walk past colleagues, but I find that the odd moment when you just open up and just greet someone warmly and just allow them into your world and just give them 3-5 minutes, you're surprised by how they open up and what they have to share. And it's amazing the effect that can have. So for me, it's really about being authentic. It's about truly believing, living what you believe in, so that the moment you engage with someone, they can see the person, the humanity in you, that you can actually speak to their heart, that we can actually understand that as people, as human beings, it doesn't matter our economic or social echelons, which I don't believe in any case, that our struggles are the same. The quest for happiness. We just want to be happy. We just want to be loved. And I think also to give love. I think this is fundamental, and it transcends religion. It transcends ethnicity. And so for me, that's just the way to be. And that is why, you know, when I'm at home, when I'm within my, you know, religious community, and the communities that I work with, and that I can just be myself and just be vulnerable, that is when I'm at my best.
Beautiful. I love that. And like you say, it's around, you know, also loving what you do and being happy with yourself internally. And Dr. Ayok, what are you willing to struggle for? Like, what is the one thing that really worries you or that you'll stand up for or work towards?
I think the value of family. Sometimes I feel a bit awkward. You know, a colleague said the other day, you just have to speak to Peter, and within 2 minutes he starts talking about his family. And I thought, oh, I didn't realize I was. But that's really something that is important to me. And it's not just because of my own family. It's because I recognize the role that family plays in national life, in the life of our shared humanity. So I see the family as the unit, as a building block of the community, of the nation, of the world. And if we have families that are genuine, that were, you know, that share love and empathy and all the things that we stand for, then, you know, they can be catalysts. They can be building blocks for, you know, if you have happy families, I believe you will have happy communities. We will have a happy nation. There is a country, I've forgotten the name now, small country in Southeast Asia, where the head of state is a medical doctor. And he is president as a part-time job and still practicing medicine. And he instituted happiness as a national index. Mm-hmm. And it's an outcome that they work towards. So as I said earlier on, for me, the quintessential goal that we aspire to as humans and should be aspiring to is to be happy. And I think that should come from the family. Families should be pockets, centers of happiness, you know, from which radiate love to the community, to the nation, and to the world.
Yeah, thank you for your wise words. And that really resonates for me with the theme of purpose. Because if you're happy and if you have a strong sense of purpose, then it's studies show you live healthier, happier lives, you live longer. And similarly in your workplace, you know, if you love what you do.
Yes, absolutely. You cannot be compartmentalized. You can't switch off the Peter Ayuk, who is a father and husband at home, from the Peter Ayuk, who is dean at SIBA. You can't. It has to be the same person.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. Yeah, so your words have been so valuable and it's been just lovely getting insights into Dr. Peter Ayuk and hearing more. Two last questions. One is, what is on your bucket list? If there's one thing that you could do that you haven't done, what would it be? I know that's a difficult question.
It's a difficult one.
And lastly, will you leave us with just some wise words to inspire us?
All right. What's to do? I think I'd like to travel a bit more. And perhaps what better place to travel than a pilgrimage to the Holy Land? I'm fascinated by the commonality and yet the contradictions around the Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And I always get enthralled by stories of people that have been to the Holy Land, where they've experienced this convergence, you know, where it all started. So I'd love to be there and experience that myself. And I hope that can happen soon.
Wonderful. I'm going to interrupt you there. So I have been, and I'm absolutely, you're right. It's incredible to see how different religions come together in a holy space.
Yes.
And the energy that brings together is beautiful. And yeah, I'd love to join you. And to leave us with some words.
Well, I think we have to be true to ourselves. We have to find it within us, to recognize the fact that we cannot be successful until everyone else around us is successful. And that we cannot be happy until everyone around us is happy. Otherwise, we'd be deceiving ourselves. So true happiness can only be achieved through, I think, sacrifice, through empathy, through being gracious, and I think being patient with ourselves, being mindful. I recently stumbled across I think, an interesting read, which is titled Get Out of Your Mind, Embracing Difference of South Africa, Embracing Differences from South Africa and Beyond. It's authored by Dr. Luyanda Mpalwa and a German called Klaus Droppler. So essentially, you know, the main themes in the book are around identity, culture, otherness. And what they advocate is the importance of embracing differences and diversity. And I think it's a good read for a number of reasons. Not only is it inspiring, but I think it's also a good text for MBA students and for leaders, because Luyanda Mpalwa is an architect by training. And I am fascinated by, you know, how he moved from using his knowledge of designing living spaces to designing mental models for leadership. And he talks about empathetic leadership. So I think if there's anything that, you know, in the absence of wise words of my own, but at least to recommend a good read, it would be that one, Get Out of Your Mind by Mpatlwa and Doppler.
Thank you. Dr. Ike, I think Tiba is blessed to have you to be leading, you know, the academic team and the institution. And we'd love to have more conversations like this. And hopefully our students can also listen to this podcast and it will inspire them to read that book and to really understand more about you and how to better try and find their purpose. So thank you so much for your time today. It was wonderful to connect with you.
Thank you for having me. And I really hope that my very ordinary words resonate with someone and inspire them to just be a bit better. Thank you.
Thank you.